Good morning, everyone.
I'll
get my helpers out here. The brothers and sisters of Christ in Martinstown, Missouri send greetings to all of you. And we are happy to be here this morning with you. And I look around and a lot of memories in this room, not in this room, but of the people in the room. And some of you I've known since you were little bitty babies. Some of you were young men and women when I was a young man and woman. Some of you... Sorry about that. These bathrooms have confused me. Well, I was a young man. My wife was a young woman. So we have a lot of good friends in here, a lot of good memories, and I really appreciate that. Jeremy called me and wanted to know if I would be willing to come down today. And I was happy to do that. And I'm really thankful to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's a great opportunity. I think it's helpful if you kind of know a little bit of who's talking to you. And as I said, I am from Martinstown, Missouri, not Martinsdale, not Martinsville, Martinstown. We get that confused quite often. Sometimes the post office even gets that mixed up a little bit. So I was thinking about the topic is the successful life, and it really is fascinating how God works and how the Spirit works. Brother Mike mentioned some scriptures that I have, and also Jerry this morning mentioned something, so that was very nice and really ties those things together, so I'm happy to do that. I think this mic is pretty sensitive, and I'll keep my head up. I think it might be helpful if you knew that my whole career was in education, and I was in education 40 years and served as a teacher, coach, did everything back in those days. You did it all. You drove your bus. You did everything. And if you was coaching, drive the bus. If you're the principal and you need a substitute, drive the bus. I finished in the public schools as a superintendent of schools, and then went to Truman State University as an administrator there for 12 years. So that's a little bit about my background. So whether that's a positive or negative, I will admit that education has changed since I started out in 1972. So it is a different world, and I admire those that are still teaching and still working in that field because it's so challenging with the climate that we have today. I also admire those people that choose to homeschool because it's a critical thing, and that's a choice that they make, and I applaud that also. So I'm both ways on that. I thought it would be helpful as I think about the topic successful life. I want to talk about my dad just a little bit before we get into some scriptures. Some of you remember my dad. He loved camp out, and that's where most of you would have seen him, so down through the years. But Dad is, when we talk about success, I think he's an interesting person to talk about. Of course, Dad was born in 1926. He would have been a child of the Depression. And Dad, he made it, well, he didn't really even make it through the fifth grade. He did not make it through the fifth grade. He dropped out of school at 13 and went to work in the coal mines. And the coal mines at that time were shafts in the ground. They went down 85 feet. Crawled back in there with a carbide lamp and crawled in a seam and laid on their sides, and they picked the coal and dug the coal at 13 years old. That's what he did. He had a rough life growing up, but not a bad life, just rough. Times were rough back then. He really didn't go to church, was not a Christian. He really was limited on being able to read. He really couldn't read, couldn't write. He was gifted with mathematics. That was something that he had an ability, an uncanny ability with math. So he met my mother, And she was, back in those days, you could start teaching school after you got through high school if you went to college. And so she started teaching. And actually, his sisters brought her home to stay with them, and that's where he met my mother. And in later years, the grandkids would say, Grandma, why did you ever marry Granddad? And she said, I wanted somebody who would work. I wanted a worker. I wanted a provider. And she got one. She got a good one. So he married Mom. He became a Christian. She led him to Christ, which was a wonderful blessing. And in Martinstown, we read, when we have our lesson, when we have our Bible study, we read around the room. That's our practice. And that's how Dad learned to read. He couldn't read when he first started there. And by reading and being in church, he learned to read. The things that about Dad, he did become what we would call a successful person. Never a wealthy person, never an educated person, but he worked hard. He was a farmer. He did work in the coal mines later, which was strip mines that eventually they used the heavy equipment and did that. And I remember as a child, a lot of times, I really didn't see Dad a lot. He left before daylight, and he came home after dark. We milked cows. He lived quite a life. But he did work, I will guarantee you that. The thing that I think about Dad as I was preparing this, the reason I wanted to mention him is he was a successful person in the community, and he also was a successful Christian. He died as an elder in the church. That's quite a journey. I think his success in the world and in the church was because he loved God and he loved his family. He also put church first, family right there next to it, and then work. We did not miss church to work, I'll guarantee you that. We did work every holiday. 4th of July, work. Memorial Day, work. There was nothing you missed to do that. Vacations, nah, not very much. Vacations, really he started taking vacations with the Midwest camp out. That was probably his vacation. That was protected. That was something he would do. So when we see that, I think those combinations, and as I get into this, we'll kind of see what I'm referring to about success in life and success in the church and how those can be connected. The thing that I want to mention is I had the opportunity to be with my dad when he died. I had the opportunity to be with him as he was dying. And the last question to me on his deathbed was, what are you going to do with the church? I was the last remaining elder. And I thought, what a strange question. What am I going to do? But he died thinking about the church. That's success. Right there. That's success. So that gives you a little bit of what made me up as a person, what influences I've had in my life. Success is something that we hear all the time. Really, I really appreciated Brother Mike's comments about discipline. You can't have success in anything without discipline. Tim, how many times have you heard someone say, I'd be a great golfer if I could just do this all the time? That's what makes people great, that they practice thousands and thousands of hours. If I could be consistent as a golfer, I could hit a good drive, but I couldn't do it consistently. Why? I didn't practice. I didn't put the time in. So I really appreciate that. In society today, we look at the definition of success, And it's usually the accomplishment of an aim or purpose and the attainment of popularity or profit. Aim or purpose and the attainment of popularity or profit. We have a lot of young people in here. This is critical for you. What's the success going to look like for you in your life? What are you going to do? The only trouble with the world's definition of success, it's deceptive and disastrous because it only focuses on the temporary and totally ignores what is lasting and eternal. That's all we think about. What is success like now, while I'm alive? It doesn't think about eternity. So I think that's a problem. Now, here's the problem, and I've been there. I'll bet everyone in here has thought about success in a worldly term. We're programmed that way. What can I do to become successful? But the question is, what would you give up to be successful? That is really what we need to look at. Here's a, and I took Matthew 16:24 instead of in Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Well, you can have, you will find, especially young people, and I'd say most of us in here that's a senior age, will find that there will come a time that you're going to have to deny something to be successful as a Christian. You're going to have to make some choices. Life's about choices. And that's going to happen. I think you're going to, and then are you willing to deny some things and take up his cross and follow him? I think that's the question. He goes ahead in that 16th chapter and says, "For whoever desires to save his life and lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So if we lose our life, if we lose worldly things, that's the key if we find success. Then the 26th verse, and this was the one that the congregation here wanted really me to think about. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's the question. What if you gain all the popularity? What if you gain everything, but you lose your soul? That's the challenge that we have. As I was thinking about my own life, I'm a country boy, and I was raised in the sticks, and Brother John's been there, and several of you have been there, but we're in the boonies. And it's not the end of the world, but you can just about see it from there. So that's kind of where we are. Had some Ukrainians come over years ago to Rotary, and they got to Princeton, Missouri. They got to Bethany, and then they turned. If you know where we're at, down Highway 136, they got to Princeton. They said, "Can it get any more desolate?" And they said, "Then we finally got to Unionville, and yeah, I can." So, that's kind of... Alan will know this very well. The population of Putnam County is under 4,000, right around 4,000 people. It's the largest geographical school district in the state of Missouri, 504 square miles. And when I was superintendent 20 years ago, we transported, our average daily transported per student was 500. So that's one child per square mile. And there's some people live in town, so that gives you an idea. The other statistic is 4,000 is the population for the entire county, a huge county. And guess what? We've got probably 40 or 50 hog barns with 4,000 hogs in every hog barn. So that gives you an idea. I've got another story, but I won't tell that one. I'll tell you privately about the state government and fines. The question I think that I wanted to look at is two, and being successful here on earth, in the world, and being successful as a Christian. That's really the question. That's what we're really looking at. And the question is it wrong to want to be successful on earth? Does God want us to be successful here on earth?
Yes.
Amen. God wants to bless us. Psalms 35:27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. If we are prosperous as Christians, we magnify him. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be responsible for the gifts and talents that we've been given. He wants us to be good stewards of those. He wants us to pay our bills, feed our families, and live within our means. If we can align our desires to his, then he will bless us and our families in order to make himself known, to magnify his name. Jesus, in John 10, talking about Jesus coming for his abundant life, in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now that's here, but that's also eternal life. I'm not just saying that's the only one. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everyone in here has abilities, gifts, and talents. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to use those. The key is, what are your gifts? What is your passion? What is your strength? And can you strive to use those for God's glory? If you do, he will bless you. If you do those things, he will bless you. Then, if you remember the parable of the talents, use it or lose it. I think that takes care of that. No. Matthew 25:29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If we develop and use our gifts to minister to one another, the Lord will say, and this is what we all want to hear, well, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things, enter into the joy of your Lord. He gives us stuff. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to do things. Use them. We have to do that for him, to further his plan. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and then you will have more. You will receive more. You will be blessed. And I thought about this again when Brother Mike was speaking, but I really like this. I came across this quote, and I'm thinking about my family, and I'm thinking about the blessings of my mother and father and their influence. I'm thinking about people in this auditorium and their influence and their things that they blessed me with. And I like this quote, when you drink the water, don't forget who dug the well. The water I drink, somebody else dug that. Some of you here have helped dig that well that's blessed me with the water I drink. We need to think about that. God, everything comes from God. God is the digger of the well. He is the provider. But there's also people that's helped us, isn't there, that's helped dig his well. The other thing is, and I always find this interesting, because there's some things that we realize today, my comments about pay your bills, feed your family, be responsible. Those are things, and then Brother Mike talking about the trophy in first place, and now we know there's second, third, fourth, and fifth, and there's ribbons and things. And we talk about us sharing, and we should, and that's one thing God wants us to do. God wants us to be a giver. We just had a collection. Well, you can't put anything in the plate if you don't have anything. So Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So he's saying, bring the tithes to me. And we do not tithe, but we give. We give cheerfully the purpose of our heart. And then he says, and try me now in this. So you know what he's saying? He's saying, you do this, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Your grain bins will be full. Your cows will weigh a great weight. You'll be blessed. So really what he's saying when he says, try me now in this, he says, try it. Put me to the test. See what happens. See, if you give to me, see if I'll give to you. That's what he's saying here. God wants us to have an influence. Deuteronomy 28:10-13 says, and all people of the earth shall see that you are called by my name, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. That's the key. Will you heed his commandments? Will you do his commandments? If you do, he's telling them, you will be blessed. You will receive this. So this is here. This is here. Now, we also have eternal blessings. But he's talking, everything I've been talking about is, does God want you to be successful here? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Because you will glorify him, you will bring honor to him, you will magnify him. Now, when we look at the biblical view of success, what are the two greatest commandments? Well, Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. A successful person loves God with every fiber of his or her being, and their neighbor as they love themselves. Also, though, in Ephesians 6:1-3, we are told the first commandment with promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You will receive a blessing if you honor your... You love God, and you love your neighbors, and you honor your mom and dad, and love them. You're going to be blessed. Right there. Now, you know, I've dealt with... students for a long time, you know, I mean, every age, and you know, I've had to discipline a lot of children, and you know what, Christian children in Christian homes, and kids that honor mom and dad, you know what, they honor authority. That's what it's all about. They honor authority. They understand that. If you're a rebellious child, you are not going to be a very good citizen. You're not going to follow God's plan for you. So I think that's a real key if we want to be successful. In Matthew 6:19-21, and again I think this is one that we talked about, right? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal or go out with the trash. My wife and I have cleaned out her mom and dad's stuff, my mom and dad's stuff, and it is so sad when you clean out those things because you can't keep it all, because you realize that it will go out in trash, if not this generation, the next generation. So Linda and I are trying to help our children now with getting rid of some stuff that means something to us. Two generations later, no, they're not going to care. So think about that. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if we think about Christ, and we think about what he did, and again, we had at the table there, we had some good thoughts about that. He invested his life, ability, and talents in others. Christ's whole thing was to do good for others, and he did that. So what should we be doing? We should share our faith, we should lead the lost to Christ, and we need to help other Christians mature in their faith. In Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then the 33rd, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So when we think about Christ, he's saying, put your efforts and put all your thoughts on the kingdom, on eternity. Everything here is going to take care of itself. It really will. So if we put it, if we don't put the kingdom of God first, we labor in vain. If we don't work according to the principles and ways of our Father, our efforts will lead to temporary success, just earthly success. In Psalms 127:1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." So you just go build your house and see what stands. If it's not built on the commandments, not built on the God and his teaching on that book that we have, that we follow. "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." If you follow him, you will sleep well. You will do that. If you worry about the world and you worry about all that, then you're going to be in trouble. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." That's the world. Ah, yeah. You go get everything you can get, make all the money you can make, be the most popular person, and you will be happy. No, it doesn't work that way. I had some quotes, and I threw them out, but I looked at Rockefeller, and I got to think, you know, there's a lot of young people going to be here that don't even know who Rockefeller is, and Vanderbilt and all those people that we grew up knowing those were rich, wealthy people. And you know what? You can look those people up and look at some quotes. And you know what? They were successful here. They made lots of money, but they will say they weren't happy. That's fascinating. I get off here a little bit, but the saddest thing to me is movie stars and popular singers and professional players that die young ages. They most of us go, boy, they're at the top. And either drugs, alcohol, their lifestyle, they die young. They die unhappy. They're making multi-million dollars and they die and they don't have anything. So that tells you what can happen if you don't do it right. The other thing that I was looking at is in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I tell you what, I don't know. Again, I see a lot of young people here, and I love young people. I love seeing this. This is the future. But has anyone, anybody, don't raise your hand. Has anyone affected by peer pressure? Oh my, I was. I'm not much anymore. The peers that pressure me now are my fellow Christians. That's the peers I want pressuring me. But I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to do the things that would make me liked. And that's conforming to the world. That's accepting the world's lie about success. That's what that is. We have to be different. We have to be looking for eternal. That's what we need to have as our main purpose. In Joshua 1:7, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." Why? "That you may prosper wherever you go." Don't fall away. Don't move away. If you stay true to the commandments, you stay true to God's teachings, you may be prosper. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do not waver. Do not fall away. Think about the rich young ruler and talking about the kingdom of God in Matthew 19:16. He came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And if you remember, he lists all that stuff he did. He did it. He did everything kind of the Pharisee model. They'll do these things, check this off. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." That's not saying, if I sold everything and gave everything away, there wouldn't have been anything going to plate this morning, right? So that's not what it's saying. It's saying, put others first. Put other things, not I'll build a bigger building. I'll do this. I'll do the things for me. Think about other people. So when we think about how do we know that we were successful, I think probably Jesus answers this pretty clearly in Matthew 25:31-46. Says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was 100, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." What do you think would lead those people to do that? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbors. Wouldn't it? That's what led them to do those things. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee 100 and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we the sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The ones that didn't do these things shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." I talked about my dad. I talked about his journey. And when he died, Brother Lewis Garvey preached his funeral, conducted it. And some of the best, his Christian life was the highlight, the course of his life. But some of the things that meant the most to me was people that we look down upon, people that are poor, people that have had troubles, didn't have a really good life. Those people came to me and said, "Your dad treated me really well." That meant a lot. You know, it meant, you know, someone saying something good about him as a Christian. But that tells me he was a Christian, doesn't it? Because it meant a lot to them. I am sure through that his love and that example, he brought people to Christ. Because they knew he was a Christian. So I think that's what this is talking about. Are you willing to take care of those less fortunate? Jesus defines success by not what a person gains in life, but rather what a person gives. He was not interested in anything but what he could do for other people, was he? He was not at all. He knew, as you said, what his purpose in life was. He knew, because he said, he really prayed that it might pass. He said, "Your will be done." He knew that. He knew that. He knew what he was going to face, didn't he, Jerry? He knew that. And he goes, "I'm going to put God's will ahead of my own." We want to be Christ-like? Are we willing to put his will ahead of our will? Brother Mike talked about the Apostle Paul. Here's what I hope and pray that I can say at my death. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That's success. Right there. Check. That's success. As we think about this and looking at the clock, and it's a tenuous place to be between people and lunch, I thought, okay, I got sandwiched in there, you know, so no pun intended. I want to offer the invitation this morning, and I think that we have young people in here, we have middle-aged people, and we have some of us older people. Mature, is that the right word we should use? We have some mature people. Amen. So you know what's in common? We all have aspirations. We all had goals. Young people in here, college, jobs, marriage. Here's what I want. This will make me successful. This is what I want. So you have all that right now ahead of you. Middle age, you're in the middle of it. You're going to work every day, and you're in the middle of it. You have children, you may have grandchildren, you're fighting that battle every day in the world. Older people, we're kind of at the end of that. I can't speak for all, because I'm just speak for myself as an elderly person. My, this world is not my home. I've been sick, I've had injuries, I've had illnesses, I've had disappointments, and you know what? Heaven. That's it. I'm not ready to go, but if I go, it'll be okay. I was worried about Mike for a while. Thought I'd expand my talk. But as superintendent of schools, yesterday, I've been out there 20 years, comes across the news where a 15-year-old boy killed in a car wreck. A student. And flashed back to me how many homes I went to. I would go. When we lost a student, I would go to the home. That's tough. But it happens, folks. I may not make it home today. You may not make it home. Life is so fragile. It is so fragile. It fascinates me what some people live through and some people die from. It can be so simple. It's so fragile. And, you know, if you don't get anything else out of this, we pray, and God wants you to be successful, but he does not want you to put that success ahead of your eternity, of where you want to live. We're all going to die. And we're going to go somewhere. Now, we had at the communion, we have the Lamb of God. He gave his life for us. He shed his blood. We have a free ticket. It's been paid for. All we have to do is accept him as our Savior, repent, be baptized for remission of our sins, and check. We've got it. Now, Sometimes, and I run into this a lot, and I may have thought this a little bit, I know, if you look in Romans, everybody in here sins. But you know what? We've got the card that we can be forgiven. We have the blood of Jesus. So if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you don't have it. You do not have it. You can't get in the gate. You can't go to the concert. I just think the music's probably going to be about as beautiful as it was this morning. So that's where I'm going to go to that concert. I'm not a concert goer, so that's one I don't want to miss. So this morning, if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, I don't know a better time. You've got people here that are praying for you, that want you to do that. The angels in heaven will rejoice and joy over that. It's just an opportunity, and what a blessing. And so thank you, and I just implore that you accept Christ's calling and that you accept his invitation as we close. Thank you.